For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 27, and we read the verses 45 through 60. Matthew 27, we start reading at verse 45. There we read God's holy word. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon this morning is found in the portion we read, the first part of verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Beloved congregation, many voices are heard at Golgotha. We hear slander, insult, and mockery. Three crosses are erected with condemned men nailed unto them. And the man in the midst is defied and tempted. Who is that man? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is surrounded by many voices. But from God's side, there is no response. God is silent toward his Son. It is deathly silent. And this silence is symbolized by the 3 hours of darkness. And then we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. He experiences hellish pain. Yes, he experienced hell self. Because hell means to be without God. And this Lord Jesus felt when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was not simply the feeling of being forsaken. No, he was forsaken. Some spectators misunderstood Jesus' words and thought he was appealing for help from Elijah. And they again mocked with Jesus. And heaven? Heaven remained silent. And then at least he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then God answers from heaven. Not with a voice as he had done before by saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God's answer is recorded in Matthew 27, verse 51 and 52. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." Here we read of three signs. And maybe you regard the first sign as less significant. The earthquake and the rock splitting seem to be more startling. And yet, the first sign mentioned is the main one. The first sign is also mentioned in the other Gospels. The other two signs are only mentioned in the Gospel according to Matthew. And this morning we want to pay close attention to the main sign, namely the rending or tearing of the veil. And the theme of the sermon is the tearing of the veil, which means that the foreshadows are over, the barrier is removed, and the access is opened. The tearing of the veil, which means that the foreshadows are over, the barrier is removed, the access is opened. The Lord Jesus was suffering severe agonies. He bore the wrath of God over all sin. At Golgotha, he made atonement for his people. And meanwhile, the service in the temple in Jerusalem just continued like always. What kind of service? What exactly happened at the time that the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, giving his life into the hands of God? It is the ninth hour, that is 3 p.m., the time at which the evening sacrifice was brought. While the offerings were made upon the brass altar in the outer court, a priest entered the holy place of the temple to burn the sweet incense. In the holy place stood the golden altar of incense. And the priest laid upon it different fragrant incense on it every day. And the most common spice used was frankincense. With coals of fire from the burnt offering, he kindled the altar of incense. And the smoke of frankincense ascended and filled the entire holy place. The rising of the smoke points to the ascension of prayers unto God. The Lord had determined this ritual by which his people could have communion with the Holy God. And try to picture this for a moment. It is the time that the evening sacrifice is brought. The priest passes the first veil, and he made everything ready for the incense. It was a strange and unusual afternoon. You know that it was dark for 3 hours that day. The sun was darkened for some unknown reason. Maybe the service in the temple was stopped for a while. At a set time, however, the priest needed to bring the evening sacrifice. And then it became light again. In the court, people were busy slaughtering the Easter lambs. This was a big job every year again. All lambs were slaughtered at the court. And many people were present. The priest made preparation for the evening sacrifice. He was allowed to enter the holy place. The most holy place was shielded by another veil. This was not a flimsy veil, but a heavy, thick curtain. It was made with the finest fabrics. The colors were sky blue, scarlet, that is deep red, and purple. And the serving priest came close to the curtain. And the curtain proclaimed, "To this point, but no further." No one was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year. It was the place where in former days the ark was standing as a sign of God's gracious presence amongst the people. And no person could approach the Lord. The thick curtain made a separation. And while the priest was performing his task in the faint light of the candlestick with the seven branches, something terrible happened. All of a sudden, the thick veil is rent in half. It tears from top to the bottom. The priests are bewildered. They hang the veil in two pieces. It hangs open. The darkness of the Holy of Holies became visible. The place where the high priest was only allowed to come once a year was now open. What did this mean? And probably the priests have understood this to be a sign of evil forebodings. Jewish writings tell us about different events that happened before the temple was destroyed. At one time, the lamps of the candlestick turned down. And another time, the doors of the temple, which were closed at night, suddenly opened in the morning. And could the rending of the veil be related to these events? No. In our text, we find the reason for the tearing of the veil in half. It was closely connected to what happened outside Jerusalem on the hill Golgotha. It is connected to the death of the Lord Jesus. We read in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And then the veil got torn. Then, when the Lord Jesus gave his spirit into the hands of his Father, not any earlier. And this points to an important meaning of the rending of the veil. What? It means that the sacrifice for the redemption of the transgressions has been offered. No, not in the temple, but outside Jerusalem, at Golgotha. The sacrifice for the atonement has been brought by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this means that all other sacrifices were no longer necessary. All the sacrifices that were offered till now pointed to the one sacrifice that had to be brought. They all pointed to the perfect atonement to be offered by the Messiah. All the flow of blood of sacrificial bulls and goats pointed to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the Easter lambs which were slaughtered at that time were not necessary any longer. The priests who were preparing for Easter could stop right away. It did not serve any purpose since the sacrifice has been offered. The great high priest has given his own life. And by him, the barrier was removed. By him, we have access to God. There is no curtain that separates us from the presence of God. God proclaims this by ripping the curtain from the top to bottom. It means that the foreshadows of 1500 years have now become obsolete. The rituals foreshadowing Messiah's sufferings are now over. God's promises have been fulfilled. The Jews must have taken note of this event with astonishment. It, however, contains an important message for us as well. Why? Might someone ask. What do we have to do with the service of the Old Testament sacrifices? Well, nothing literally. But if we consider Israel's attitude toward the service of sacrifices at that time, then we can still learn something. What was Israel's attitude in general? Well, they considered the offering of sacrifices as a means by which they were able to please the Lord. They believed that they were able to gain some righteousness. And this we glean from different portions of Scripture. Recall the history of the rich young man in Matthew 19. He thought to enter God's kingdom by strictly keeping the law. And what about the Pharisees? They were thinking the same way. They made hundreds of additional commandments and prohibitions by which they thought to build up a righteousness. And as spiritual leaders, they instructed the people to follow their example. Attempts to build up a righteousness has not disappeared after the curtain was ripped in half. Up to the present day, self-righteousness attitudes are still found also amongst us. We all are inclined to start laboring for the Lord, thinking we have to contribute something for our salvation. We are inclined to think that we, with our privileges and efforts, are better than those who don't attend church. Of course, it is good to maintain the tradition of attending church services and sending children to a Christian school, etc. But be careful for the proud thought that we are a little bit better than others. You don't get one step closer to heaven in your own strength. It does not contribute to your salvation. And this is one of several lessons coming from the torn curtain. The Lord ripped the curtain from top to bottom. Also, the garment of your self-righteousness is ripped in two. We don't become better people by our good intentions and good works. Nothing of yourself brings you closer to salvation. not your strictness, not even your pious feelings brings you closer to God. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, Thou alone. We are inclined to seek assurance of our acceptance with God in outward means or in own experiences. No, true faith is not without the use of outward means and without experiences. Our weakness is that we are inclined to build our hopes on these. The Lord points you to your legal inclinations this morning and shows you all the things you take along, I will tear from you. Can you relate to this? Have you already seen that you have nothing which pleases the Lord? The foreshadowing services are over. Self-righteousness has no place. Do you know why any form of self-righteousness is so sad? It does not only bring you into spiritual darkness. Seeking to establish your own righteousness despises Christ's sacrifice on the cross. You act as if his sacrifice is not sufficient for the remission of all sin. And let us pay closer attention to the spiritual implications of to the torn curtain. And this brings us to our second point, namely that the barrier is removed. Picture for a moment the thick curtain. It was 80 feet tall and 4 inches thick. It defined the Holy of Holies. It separated the two rooms in the temple. The veil was a beautiful, heavy curtain. It was woven and embroidered. What was pictured on the veil? Strands of blue, purple, and scarlet were woven on a white linen fabric in such a manner that these colors formed a mass of cherubim, the guardian angels of God's holiness. And this was not merely for the show. To understand the meaning of these angelic figures, we need to flip back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In chapter 3, we read about cherubim as well. After Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, the Lord expelled them from the garden. And at the entrance of the garden, the Lord said, "Cherubim." And they held a fiery sword in their hands. The access to the garden was guarded. The access to the tree of life was blocked by sin. And no immediate access to God was possible anymore. There was no communion with God possible. The cherubim defended the holiness and majesty of God, which our first parents had abused. Maybe now you understand the reason why cherubim were embroidered on the veil. And what was behind the veil? Well, originally the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark as a symbol of God's presence among his people. And at the same time, it showed the barrier. It was impossible to freely approach God. No person was allowed to enter the most holy place except the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement. And on this day only he was allowed to. He was allowed to pass by the thick, heavy curtain with its cherubim. He could not freely enter. He needed to carry with him a basin with blood. And this blood pointed to the atonement for sin. Only when the high priest was cleansed, he was allowed to enter the most holy place with blood. He also took along a pot with frankincense. The incense filled the whole room. This created, as it were, a big haze of smoke. This means that no person is able to see God and live. God is the most holy one. A haze of smoke was necessary to dim the blaze of his glory and majesty. So the thick curtain, the smoke of frankincense, and the blood tell us that the barrier between man and God. And let us not forget that the veil in the temple would not have been needed if man had not sinned. We are the cause of the barrier. We have violated God's holiness and majesty. We have insulted his love. We have besmirched and despised all God's attributes by our sin. And therefore, a thick curtain was hanging before the Holy of Holies. We cannot possibly approach God. Have you seen this already yourself? I am the cause of that barrier. And I am totally unable to remove it. We cannot slide the curtain away. I'm guilty before God. And I cannot pay my sin. Maybe you have tried before. You try to live decently. You try to live strictly according to God's commandments. You had the intention to pray more seriously. But you discovered that it did not work. Maybe you discovered that your list of sins only became longer. As it were, the curtain between you and God only became heavier. And you discovered that you not only commit sin, but that the roots of sin are in your heart. I am sin. And has this reality ever brought you into distress? Your dreadful condition is uncovered. What can you do now? Is it your heart's desire that you can have communion with God again? And that all barriers be removed? If we want to be delivered from sin, then we need to understand how terrible sin is. We have a sky-high debt to God. How can we possibly be saved? Well, the answer is given on Good Friday. Good Friday means that Christ has paid in full for his church. Look, the veil has been rent. It has been ripped in half from top to bottom. This so clearly shows that God has done it. He has removed the barrier. He tore the veil as soon as Jesus had cried, "It is finished." The curtain is rent after the Lord Jesus had cried with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I command my spirit." Christ has broken down the thick wall of sin and guilt by his sacrifice. The thick curtain, as a symbol of our sin and guilt, has been ripped in two. The price of the penalty is paid. The curtain is not necessary any longer, since God looks to his people through his Son, Jesus Christ. In and because of his accomplished work, the Lord sees no sin in his people. The wall of separation has been broken down. God rent the curtain. And with this event, the Lord confirmed that he has approved of the sacrifice, that he has approved of the sacrifice of his Son. His Son has fulfilled the law. The entrance to heaven is open again. And this, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews explains in chapter 8. He says that the service in the temple was a shadow of heavenly things. And by tearing the veil, God confirmed that the barrier between heaven and earth has been removed. You can be reconciled to God by Christ. God has opened the way by Christ. And that is the gospel of Good Friday. The things which are impossible with man are possible with God. He ripped the veil in half. Salvation comes from above. And this is such an encouragement to those who want to get rid of their burden of sin but don't know how. You observe nothing but guilt. And nothing changes in your life after so many years of seeking. And every day you see your shortcomings and your long list of sins. Look to what God is doing. He rent the curtain. The debt of his people is paid in full. Though your sins are many and great, the strong curtain has been ripped in half. Your sky-high debt is removed by one move of God. The access to God is opened again. For who? For who? There's no condition to meet to plead Christ's accomplished work. There are no restrictions for approaching the throne of free grace. The only barrier left is on your part. The Lord, however, is able and willing to remove all obstacles. And you may plead with the Lord, O God, thou hast removed the veil. No sin or guilt can block the access because of the finished work of thy Son. Look upon me through him. And this morning it is proclaimed to you again. The way which you have broken up is paved by him. He removed the curtain of separation. And there's no reason for anyone to be hopeless. Christ has paid the penalty for the church. He has broken down the wall of separation. He has torn the veil. It is still possible to be reconciled with God. It is to his honor when people take access to him. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the separation is removed and the access is opened. The access is opened. Our third point. It is opened because of Christ's work of reconciliation. In Scripture, it is pictured as a way, a bloody way. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." The entrance to the holiest means the access to God who is in heaven. The service of the temple foreshadows heaven. And there is access to God by Jesus' blood. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews calls the blood of Jesus a new and living way. A new and living way. Do you know what this means? It means that that all the shadows are gone. It also means that there is no barrier between me and God. But finally, it means that there is free access to God. This means that God himself, he himself will apply the finished work of his Son to the heart of sinners by the operations of the Spirit. And then you not only know that the separation has been removed, but you also know that you are reconciled with God personally. And do you know how the Spirit applies the salvation in Christ? By pointing you to the blood of Christ. The apostle speaks about the blood of Jesus as a new and living way. And the word new points to its freshness. A new or fresh and living way. This means that you can always go on this way. It will always be a passable way since it is a fresh way. It means that the way of God is full of saving power and full of saving grace. It's also a living way. That shows that you don't need to merit anything to come and to remain on that way. Not your conduct and your efforts are decisive. It means that you can find this way. Since the Lord seeks you in your distress and misery, you will find this way when you don't see any way out. You will find this way even if you don't know where to find it. You hear that the veil has been torn and that the way to God is opened. Where to find it? It will be found when you come to an end with your impossibilities. This way is a living way. It seeks you and carries you. It carries you on. It is a living way so that you will never get lost in this way. It is the way of blood. It is the new and living way. Isn't that a miracle? From this way, you can never go lost. Oh, you can wander away, for sure. And due to sin, we leave the new and living way. But the Lord is seeking you, time and again. And the Lord will teach you to have no expectation from self, but from the Lord alone. He teaches you to look to his shed blood, and he brings you on the new and living way. How? He comes to you by word and spirit. He comes to you and reveals himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He reveals himself as the new and living way. And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes for him so that you discover that the only access to God has been opened, and that He will be glorified by setting sinners on this way. And this morning He reveals Himself to you again. And He calls you, come to Me and be saved. Seek Me and live, because I am the new and living way by My blood. Tell Me what you lack. Do you lack faith? On the new and living way, He supplies faith. Do you lack confidence? Are you afraid to deceive yourself? On His way, you will find confidence. For poor and needy sinners, there is no other way than this new and living way. His blood is the confidence to come to the Lord and to receive grace. What carries more weight? Your unworthiness? Your sins? Your guilt before God, which make you unfit for God? Or the blood of Christ? What carries more weight? Don't look to all that pulls you down, but bring it to the Lord. We rather look at our failures than to the perfect sacrifice of Christ. He has shed His blood. And the Lord Jesus says to you in the preaching of the gospel, look to Me. Look to My blood, which cleanses you from all sin. My blood is the only and perfect and eternal sacrifice. That is the way you receive salvation in Christ. Only by looking to Christ and His blood, and not to self, not to your abilities and your knowledge. The Spirit applies the blood of Christ because of the power of the blood. He died instead of sinners. God rent the veil of guilt. God supplies a full salvation in His Son. And you can only be reconciled to God by Christ. And be careful. Be careful. And do not neglect His serious call. The Lord is very sincere with His invitations. And I warn you, if you don't repent, if you remain in unbelief, you count His blood as an unholy thing. And in that same chapter 10 of the book Hebrews, a serious warning is uttered. Those who count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing will deserve much worse punishment. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't seek it in self, in your own righteousness, in your own feelings and experiences. Seek it with Him. He is the new and living way. He has removed the veil of sin. It pleases Him to draw sinners to Himself. Do you feel His drawing love? Why then do you resist Him? He is the way. The person who goes on this way knows of His love as well. And he will marvel at His gift and cannot fathom His love. At times, moments of intense desire, to live with God without any barrier fill the heart. God has taken away all barriers, that sin throws obstacles in the way. The torn veil proclaims the opened way, the new access to God, since Christ is the new and living way. A rich promise comes to us, namely that a day will come that nothing will hinder the communion with God. And soon, perfect harmony will be experienced between God and His people. And then His people will glorify His name forever. The glorious gates of righteousness threw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord, my God, to Thee. Amen.